Welcome to Community Forum, a weekly call-in program produced at the studios of KSKA. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. And now, the host of Community Forum, Nellie Moore.
Good afternoon. It's kind of a slick but very warm afternoon in South Central Alaska. We're very happy about that, I think. Except I was just telling my guest here, Dr. Collins, that it was kind of a careful drive into town. My guest is Dr. Al Collins. How are you today?
I'm fine, Nellie.
And today we're kind of talking about winter attitude, things like that. First of all, you're a clinical psychologist. You specialize in applied neurophysiology.
Yes, that's one of my main fields.
Mindfulness and cognitive therapy.
Yes, those also.
Child and family psychology and depth psychotherapy.
Quite a number of different fields, but I try to pull them together. Yes,
and probably what you know some people think they're familiar with. You work with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yes, a lot of that.
In both children and adults.
Correct. Yes,
And quite an extensive background. But mostly, we're happy to have you here to give us some advice.
Well, thank you.
And be willing to let us pick your brains and talk about how to get through. I don't know. People say that right now is when the light is just starting to increase and everyone gets excited. But for some reason, I always think that February is colder, and that's when I have a hard time getting through the winter.
I would agree with you, February and even March, I would say in my case. But yeah, it's exciting up through the holidays, and then the hard times begin.
Yeah. I like March because I like the warm winter storms, but February, I could do without the temperature. So now that we've gotten people grumpy about February, let's talk about when I spoke with you on the phone, you said winter is an introverted time of year, which I had never, you know, heard it described that way before.
Yeah, well, that's I think that's the way it's always been thought of by people. Winter is the time to get into bed in front of the fire, tell stories, you know, imagine things, and rest. So it's not all bad. You know, it's a time for reflection and not really necessarily a time to get depressed because it's not summer. You know, it has its own wonderful qualities.
And I guess you had said some really positive things to me on the phone. We talked a little bit about how people tend to turn inward. It's a time of storytelling, and people do some different activities when the weather gets colder. Some still, you know, do their very physically active things, but also do things that are more easily done at home and inside.
Yeah, I think the values of winter have more to do with doing the things inside, and not just inside the house, but inside the mind, like introversion, you know, meaning inside the psyche, inside the personality, as opposed to the extroverted or outward-oriented life of the summertime. So it's, you know, it has that value. Of course, people do get out in the winter, too, and that can be a great antidote, you know, if winter gets to be a little too much.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. Today we're talking about winter and finding ways to enjoy the dark days and other things without getting cranky about it. Give us a call. This is a live call-in program if you're listening in the afternoon. Our number is 550-8433 and our toll-free 1-888-353-5752. And you can email as well at communityforum@kska.org. And if you have some friends who are having a tough time, you could let them know that this program repeats tonight at 7, the recorded version, and you can't call in, but you can sure get some good information. What do you say to people who come in and say, "Doctor, I'm cranky and grumpy, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to April"?
Well, I would first try to find out if it's just the winter or whether the person is depressed for other reasons. I would say most of us here in Alaska definitely show differences in our personality between summer and winter, just like we do between day and night. You know, every day and every night we go through cycles of wakefulness and sleepiness. And in the same way, I think we tend to do that during the year. And if we can begin to understand that it's a natural process and it doesn't really mean there's anything wrong with us necessarily, I mean, if it's not too bad, I mean, it's just a normal process. And I would start off with that with a person and see if they're just experiencing a normal condition or if it's worse than it should be, mm-hmm. and in which case then we'll apply, different approaches to it. One of them, as you mentioned before, would be trying to find meaning in it, what could this mean to in a positive way. Maybe you need to reflect on your life. Maybe you need to think about, the internal life and not just how much money you're making or, what you're going to do outside. Now, if it's real depression, then you go toward cognitive therapy, potentially referring a person for medication or something else like that also.
Mm-hmm. At what point should people look for advice? I mean, when do they know they need help?
Well, I think sleeping a little bit more in the winter is normal. Being a little bit less energetic is normal. If you get to the point where you're sleeping far too much or far too little, that tends to be a pretty good sign that something needs change. I think sleep is a really good indicator.
Mm-hmm. What about kids? It seems like they spend a lot of time outside in the summer, as we as adults do, and then weather gets really cold, and a lot of the kids don't like that cold weather, and they're inside.
That's a good point. I think families tend to break down a lot, into two categories, the ones who spend a lot more time outside and then the ones who tend to retreat inside. I've been talking about the advantages and the good side of being indoors and inside the psyche, but it can definitely become too much, and you have to watch for a balance. And I do often advise people to get out, even if it's only for a walk. I do that every day. It may not be a long walk, but it might be 20 minutes, and I try to do that mm-hmm. most days, and that helps a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. I have two grandchildren in kindergarten that come to my house after school, and one of them prefers to stay in, and the other one is, I want to go out. So I end up by default being outside a lot, even if it's really cold. It doesn't matter to him. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that seems to make a big difference in attitude for me, too.
Yeah, doesn't it? I mean, if you just look up at the sky on one of those cold nights and see the stars and the moon, I mean, it's like another world out there, and it kind of does bring its own kind of energy.
Mm-hmm. Is there a point when people might need medication to help them through winter depression? Or
medication or light therapy, which, has been found to be pretty effective. I remember when I came up here many years ago, one of the psychiatrists that we worked with was a woman named Carla Hellickson. And she had done research on light therapy for seasonal affective disorder, SAD, and had found it to be effective and had published papers on it. In fact, she was a world authority on it. And from her, I learned about that, and mm-hmm. I still think that's useful.
And there are, if you get on the internet, and I think some of the pharmacies here in town have SAD lights, and some doctor's offices, I think, have them available, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. And some of the electrical supply stores as well.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of benefit, or how do you use a SAD light?
Well, there's a couple of different kinds. The most commonly used is just a big panel of lights, and you sit in front of it for maybe an hour or something. You could be doing other things like reading or whatever. And then there's the version that turns on the lights very slowly, as though the sun were coming up in your room, which is a kind of a nice idea. I've never actually tried it, but I like that idea.
It sounded good also when I saw it and I was reading about it, and I was like, hey, that sounds – because I'm a bright – I like brightness, light, and when I wake up and it's dark outside, I try to avoid looking out there.
Yeah, right. Or get back in bed and pull the covers up for another couple of hours.
Let's pretend it's not dark out there.
Yeah.
What are some indicators with kids that, maybe they're becoming depressed, that they may be needing a little extra help?
Well, again, there's a kind of a continuum from normal to not so normal. A lot of the kids that I see I mean, they might have other problems that have nothing to do with depression or winter, but even so, you'll see that sometimes they start getting really sleepy earlier in the afternoon. They seem a little sluggish. They might be gaining a little weight. Again, I think a lot of it is normal, and mm-hmm. If you don't make it out to be worse than it is, it may not be worth treating. On the other hand, it probably is a good idea to get out some, to, build a snowman or...
not a really big one, though, right?
Well, why not? I'm in favor of big snowmen, too. Or go downtown and see the ice sculptures that we were talking about, which are a lot of fun to go to. That was a great thing that we did this winter, I think.
Also, there is the lighted ice.
Yes, I haven't seen it lighted yet. I went down during the day. I need to get back down there.
And that's at the park strip. So
right, that's where I was. But I didn't see it lit. I just saw it during the daytime.
Yeah, so I know when we lived in Fairbanks and our kids were young, it was like you had to get out. You just could not stay in the house. It was so cold and dark.
Right.
And one of the exciting things would be that midwinter carnival type thing where they would make a huge ice sculpture. I always remember the dog sled. It was life-size with a musher on it. But kids could sit on the dogs. They were very well constructed and play on most of the structures, which made it a lot of fun and very unusual for them.
Yeah, midwinter festivals, I think, are a tradition around the world. New Year's, I think, is one of those. And the solstice festivals that we have here and Rondi and so forth. But I think that really is an important thing.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about turning inside to the psyche, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
You might pay attention to your dreams or reflect on your dreams. You might turn out the lights and sit around the fireplace and tell stories or read stories. I have certain winter stories that I like to read every year. One of them I mentioned to you is called Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, which is a medieval story about the midwinter that was told in the midwinter, in those days. And we still tell it in the midwinter.
Where did that come from?
It's one of the Arthurian, King Arthur stories, based on really ancient Celtic mythology.
Mm-hmm. So is this something your family does or you've started? Or?
I think I got them to do it. I don't know how enthusiastic they always are about it, but it's something I always like to do. Yeah.
I noticed we try to avoid scary stories because now the kids have taken to covering your mouth if you start trying to read a scary story. Although they're a lot of fun.
This is a very scary story, but it has a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. So. What kinds of activities, besides just outright physical exercise, do you recommend for kids in the wintertime that could help them, looking toward the community?
Well, a lot of kids, there are a lot of kid activities here. There's the hockey world, which kind of wakes up in the winter and people are getting up at 5 a.m. and going out and playing hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it outside when it's 20 below. One of my kids got a little frostbite, so that's something to worry about. There are a lot of different activities, and I think it's, sometimes it's a matter of the parent just kind of getting themselves going enough to get the child out. But I do think it's very important. They don't let them go out of class for recess if it's below zero, I think, around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of the kids over the last few weeks, who are really bummed out about that and, I think have been feeling deprived of physical activity because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It tends to increase the frustration level, I think, and they have that kid need to be active.
Right. And then there's cabin fever, that classic thing. The smaller the house, the greater the cabin fever. The more people, I've seen a lot of people who are really feeling, they've had too much of each other and they want to get out. And there are things that you can do to get out. You can go to the library, you can go to a movie, you can go to the museum. There are activities.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, it's the same thing you say about any kind of mild depression. It's just a matter of recognizing that you can do something and, you may feel stuck, but you're not stuck.
Mm-hmm.
look at it from outside, make a decision, and don't wallow in it.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. Today we're talking about our winter mental attitude. Give us a call if you have questions. My guest today is Dr. Al Collins, and he has an office here in Anchorage and a website. If you'd like to check it out, it's braindance.us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information on there. If you want to call in today, it's 550-8433. That's 550-8433. He'll be here until 3 o'clock. And our toll-free is 1-888-353-5752 or communityforum@kska.org. Right now in the news, there isn't very much that sounds good. I mean, we've got a historical inauguration coming up, but we have a war that's been dragging on. Our economy is beyond shambles, I think, right now. And people are fearing for their jobs and fearing for their, what many people have lost, you know, a big chunk of their retirements in the stock market. We are hearing mostly bad news. How can that affect us?
Well, bad news does affect us. You know, it's been shown for a long time that bad life events will make us more likely to get depressed. Mm-hmm. And we're all experiencing life events. So I think maybe the first thing to do is to recognize that this is a time that's more likely to create depression than other times are. And, you know, the first step is always to recognize the truth. Then you think about ways to do something about it. And the way you do something about it, I think, fundamentally, is to look at the brighter side of things and do not let yourself be totally caught up in the negative. Mm-hmm. You recognize that the negative is there, but we don't have to necessarily spend all of our time thinking about it. There may be things that we can do to make things better, in spite of the fact that, you know, maybe a third or a fourth of our or half of our retirement funds are gone. You know, maybe we still have the half that's there, and we can try to figure out something rational to do about that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between how older people and younger people deal with, I'm going to call it winter blues, I guess, but it can be, I'm not trying to make it sound real negative, but.
Well, the answer is, of course, there are big differences. And they're related to just how children or younger people and older people are different in other ways as well. You know, it's harder physically for older people to live in a northern climate that is, where the streets are slippery or there's a lot of snow. I mean, just the physical things make it more difficult. You need more help, and you may not have more help around. There may not be as many family members. So the usual events that go with aging can be magnified by winter. They can also be magnified by living up in a northern climate. Mm-hmm. So I think there is some truth in that, and that explains why, you know, a number of Alaskans who can do so often spend the winters outside or even move. So there's a lot of truth in it, and therefore, if you stay here in the winter, you really do need to plan and think about things to do, hopefully in advance of the winter, you know, and try to get your life organized. So there are things that you can do and people you can rely on if you do need some help.
Mm-hmm. There have been many years when I've said, I am not going to be here next year in February, I don't care what, and I've never missed a February. Is it a good idea? I mean, shouldn't, you know, we make plans to do something and just get away for a while and let your mind and body take a break?
I think that's a good idea. If you can do it, I would go outside, and I would say February is a good time to take a trip if you can take a trip. On the other hand, that's a time when kids are in school and it may not be a possible time. And then, of course, comes spring break, and that's when all the airlines have already taken up, you know, and there's no discounts available. I mean, there are a lot of real obstacles to living here, and it is hard to get out at that time of year. Mm-hmm. But sure, I agree. You know, if I could go to Hawaii in February, I would do it every year, but I don't do that either.
Mm-hmm. What about the daily work schedule? Do people feel somewhat impacted by that? And have you ever heard of people altering maybe the workday a little bit to accommodate the darkness? I know we have daylight savings time, theoretically.
That's a good point. I haven't really heard that. I've heard a lot of people, I think, who try to deny kind of the nature of winter by focusing more on work during the winter. You know, I think that, you know, introversion, going inward, that is really the natural thing that should be happening in winter, I think. And a lot of people, I think, don't like that. They may feel that introversion is like avoiding, you know, their real responsibilities, and they tend to turn to work more in the winter even.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a mistake. You know, I think that is the lesson of winter, you know. Life is a kind of seasonal thing too, you know, with the spring and, you know, summer and fall of life. The same way they have their meanings, and the same is true of the year.
Yeah.
The advantage of the year, of course, is that it doesn't end with winter. It comes back next spring, and you can think of that. Yeah, and that, I think that's a great source of solace in winter.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, in particular, we're getting a little more light. And many people have talked to me about how they're feeling a little brighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 10, 20 days after the solstice, but feels like spring is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I always feel like when you get those windy springs, but the temperature starts coming up, even if it's windy, I know mm-hmm. summer's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I start feeling like I want to get out more, and
mm-hmm.
my energy level definitely comes up to about low. But, you know, I try to cram a lot of things into every day as opposed to December or January.
I think for a lot of us up here, you know, summer begins around the beginning of April or late March. And,
yeah.
you know, and the high point of summer, you know, is like May and June. And then, you know, around the 4th of July, it starts to feel like winter is here almost.
You know, it does. And, you know, you hear people say, you know, the older you get, the faster the years fly by.
True.
It's true, everybody. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it
yeah.
is true. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm like, well, Christmas is done already. And, you know, we're already making the big break for the next cycle here.
Yeah, I feel that too.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. Today we're talking about dealing with winter. Give us a call if you have some suggestions or ideas. I know there are a lot of winter activities going on now in our community, and sharing them would be great. Our number is 550-8433, particularly for families or hard to find some things to do that kids can also participate in. 550-8433 or toll-free 1-888-353-5752 or communityforum@ksKA.org. You also have quite a background on India, and do you use some of that East-West knowledge to in your work as a psychologist?
One part of it that I use all the time is called mindfulness. And mindfulness, although it comes from the East, is a kind of a cognitive therapy technique that's used by thousands of psychologists in this country. I do use it to talk to people who are having problems with winter or with depression generally. And what mindfulness means is that you learn how to step back from yourself and from your own mind and observe what's going on in it. Say it to yourself in other words. In other words, kind of label what's happening in your own mind. Look at it objectively and don't believe it necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to let go of it.
And do people find that, are they able to do that pretty effectively, or like you were saying earlier, can you just wallow in it and get stuck there?
Well, that's the word I tell them. Don't do that. You don't have to wallow in it. You don't have to believe everything your mind tells you. And the answer is yes, they can learn how to do this. Even little kids can learn how to do it. And it may take a little while or it may take a long while, but as soon as you do it once, you will never forget how to do it. It's like riding a bicycle. You know, you get it and you can do it again. You may not do it all the time, but you know what it is.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Community Forum. As I said earlier, it is a live call-in show if you're listening in the afternoon. We're going to go to the phones now. Robin on line 2, welcome to the show.
Hi, I just have a question about light boxes.
Uh-huh.
I think my 12-year-old suffered from seasonal affective disorder, and I think that she looks terrible in the wintertime. The allergies give her some trouble, and she doesn't get enough sleep. And so we did buy her light box, and we think it's made a difference. As
Great.
As time goes on, though, I worry a little bit about the 10,000 Lux. We put it at a 45-degree angle, and she watches TV in the morning and has a bowl of cereal, and for 15 minutes she has that light box. Do you have any sense that I could be doing any damage at all?
You know, I'm not a dermatologist, and I think that's a valid question. I really don't know. I mean, I think you're probably creating more vitamin D, you know, but again, that's outside of my field, and the vitamin D is a good thing. I mean, that's not doing damage. Usually light boxes will tell you how much time you're supposed to spend in front of them, and I don't think I would exceed it too much. But aside from that, I don't really know.
Okay, well, we think we've seen an improvement. We're not going over 15 minutes, which is the minimum.
Okay.
But certainly her energy has improved. Her sleeping has improved. She sees a dermatologist. I mean, she sees an allergist. Uh-huh. But we don't have those dark circles that we had all November, December, and January last year. So, yeah, my only concern, and they're saying that that's all been taken care of with a screen that diffuses those harmful rays.
The UV,
guess I'm going to trust that that's still okay then.
Yeah, that's the problem with everything that we do. You've got to trust people, and, you know, usually the trust is well-placed, but, you know, not always. And if I were you, you know, just like you, I would be thinking about it and trying to find out. So I'm sorry, I can't help you, but if I were using one, I would ask that question. And I have actually, you know, suggested to people that they make sure that they, you know, answer that question for themselves. But light boxes do differ, you know, how much they put out and how much UV they put out.
Right, right. And this one supposedly is diffused,
yeah.
But it does have the high 10,000 lux,
uh-huh.
And it was quite expensive. And her pediatrician just over the phone said he thought it would be okay, but I thought...
Uh-huh.
You know, it's wintertime. Other people might suffer from what I saw with my own daughter, that little bit of crankiness that seems to come with the fact that, you know, winter's here. So
yeah.
I appreciate your time, though. Thanks very much.
Hey, Robin, I just wanted to ask you, since we're talking about a young person, how you said there was a little bit of crankiness, but were there some other signs that brought your attention and concerns to having to deal with the situation?
Yes, it was those terrible dark circles under her eyes, and there's a name for that. The allergist called it something or other. And,
I think some of them call it raccoon eyes.
Yeah, we beat it, though, this winter, you know. I don't know what it's called, but it, you know, he had a name and he said it's typical for people who have allergies, and yes, she has allergies, but we think we beat it this winter. So, yeah, so hooray for us, and that's a really bright light. So it's off at a 45 degree. It's on no longer than 15 minutes, and everybody I talked to said it will be fine. Don't worry. So I still have my concerns, though, because that's a lot of light coming into her eyes at an angle, and effects have been good. So I was just checking one more source, but I appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Thanks for your call, Robin. I guess there would be some dermatological concerns, but maybe there's a dermatologist out there who could run to the phone and dial 550-8433.
Yeah.
But yes. The whole vitamin D thing, is it a good idea to... I know that I've been told by my doctor that vitamin D is good as long as you don't, you know.
Well, you're out of my field here, but as an amateur, I do take a lot of vitamin D, and I believe in that too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
You've been here a long time, and I think one thing I noticed too, growing up in a rural area where there was no television to begin with, very little radio. In the old days, it seemed like people spent a lot more time together, visiting, doing things together.
Yeah.
I think one thing that comes to mind are the old quilt circles where, you know, women would gather and just sit around and sew and sew, and it made them feel better. But we don't do that too often anymore. We're all in a hurry. We've got to, you know, get off work, get home, cook that dinner, do 56,000 things before we hit the sack again.
And then we watch television. Yeah, TV takes the place of community too often, and I totally agree with you. That I would put that as something that's similar to introversion, you know, going into the family, going into the world of your friends, being with other people. I think that's another very normal and very healthy winter activity.
Mm-hmm. How can an older person avoid, you know, just, you know, you're crabbing out and you're getting grumpy. How do you keep from just torturing your children?
Well, if you have children around to torture, you're lucky. And, of course, you don't want to torture them. You want to, you know, love them and do fun things with them. I mean, the answer really to your question, I thought that what I thought was your question was going to be, you know, socialize more.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
If you're grumpy, you know, socialization is probably the most important single thing that you can do to help yourself not be depressed.
Yeah.
That and physical exercise.
Yeah. And or maybe get out and do something that's helpful in the community. I don't know. Help
yeah.
at the food bank or
right,
something.
Right, yeah. yeah. That's a different kind of socialization. Yeah.
You're listening to Community Forum on KSKA. It is a live program if you're listening in the afternoon. Today we're talking about our psyche in the winter, and my guest is Dr. Al Collins. Give us a call if you have questions or comments. Tell us how you make it through the winter. Our number is 550-8433. June on line one. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, actually, it's Jane.
Oh, sorry.
But, oh, that's okay. The way I do it is, well, I moved here just 3 years ago from Phoenix, and before that I lived in California, so I was sort of terrified about what winter would be.
Oh, my gross.
And as it turns out, it's my favorite time. I'm a runner, and so I decided that I would sign up for some huge major run in the winter so that I would have to go outside. So the last three, this will be my third year of doing the Susitna 100.
Oh, wow.
And, well, I didn't finish last year, but I finished the first year, and I'm going to finish this year. So on the weekends and all week, I have to go outside to train, or I'll blow up. So that's how I do it.
How do you keep from quitting? I mean, when it gets really cold, do you still go out and run?
Yeah, I ran last week. I ran New Year's Day. It was like 30 below. I run out on the Iditarod.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have really good gear. And you just, if you keep moving and you've got those hot hands and you've got good gear, it's no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's you know, one strategy. You know, as I said, people tend to kind of fall into two categories, those who get out a lot and those who hardly get out at all. And the ones that don't hardly get out at all, I think they definitely should do, you know, more outside activities. But
well,
I guess
yeah,
I have a question for you.
I didn't have to go out. It'd be too easy to sit on the couch and be
But do you find any kind of value in winter as a time to go interior, into your inner life, to reflect on, you know, your family and dreams and you know, things that are more inside rather than just going outdoors and running?
Well, that is where I'm really odd because I find that I do that more in the summer. In the summer, there's so much light all the time that I always feel like, oh, I can go out any time, and I tend to not go out as much because it's like as if you had a ton of candy out in front of you and you could pick one any time. It's like, oh, I'm not going to go out now, and I think more in the summer, and I go out more in the winter because I'm afraid of being depressed.
Interesting.
Well, there's that theory of the lazy summer afternoon. I remember that, too, lying out on the deck.
Yeah.
You know, it goes on for hour after hour. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so yeah. I thought that it's worked really, really well for me. And even I'm slow as molasses, and who cares what time you finish in, but it gets, even if you don't do the race, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You
that's
feel
right.
like you have to get out there, and it's better than sitting on the couch.
That's right. Getting out.
Great, Jane.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. I'll put my reading glasses back on.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about dreams a little bit. That was something that we talked about on the phone a little bit the
yeah,
other day.
That's right.
And what about those darn dreams?
Well, dreams are a window into the unconscious mind, as mm-hmm. Carl Jung said. Freud, the great psychiatrist, said that dreams are like images, like pictures that have a navel, you know, like the umbilical cord where it disappears down into the unconscious. So dreams are that kind of connection, you know, between the worlds. That's how I see it. They're essentially stories, I think. You know, there are kind of stories that are told inside the mind, And then when you remember the dream and talk about it with other people, you elaborate on it and hear their dreams and stories that might relate to the dream. And, you know, you're kind of creating a narrative for your own life. And dreams try to do that, and you have to do it consciously while you're awake also.
Interesting. I've known, had some friends who, when they got up in the morning, would write down their dreams.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a good way to do it.
Keep a journal. So how does that, I mean, how does that help, really? I mean, you're saying it's keeping a kind of a journal of your life, but...
It's not just keeping a journal. You're rewriting it. You know, the dream is a process of trying to understand it more deeply and find out what the purpose of it is or how to solve problems that come up in it. And it's not just the dream, but the remembering of the dream and the thinking about the dream and telling the dream to other people. It becomes, a practice, something you're doing to work on yourself. It starts with writing them down, yeah, but it goes beyond that.
Trying to recall the dreams when it's difficult, are there things that you can do to enhance that aspect of recalling your dreams?
Yes, there are. Some people remember a lot more dreams than others, but more is not necessarily better when it comes to dreams. Sometimes, there's kind of the just right amount. You know, too much dreams can be hard to hold on to. Too little, you don't have anything. And kind of in the middle, I think, tends to be ideal. So how do you remember? You kind of promise yourself when you go to bed, I'm going to remember my dreams. You keep a piece of paper or better, a little spiral notebook on the table beside your bed with a pen. And you promise that you will write something in that book every morning, no matter whether you have a dream or not.
Oh, wow.
And if you have no dream, you just write nothing to report or something like that. And you might have just a feeling or you might have one image and you would write that down and do it before you get out of bed.
Mm-hmm. If you are not aware of a dream, does it mean that you did not have a dream or are there times you just don't remember?
No, you always have dreams, but you probably tend to remember the ones that are stronger or more important.
Mm-hmm.
But you always dream every night, every 90 minutes.
One really crazy thing that I found out this last year about dreams was people who are in the hospital for a prolonged period of time who are, perhaps on some strong medications have some pretty different dreams, I think, as at least the person that I was with had, very negative dreams about, the people in the hospital were actually trying to hurt the person and, just very paranoid type dreams. Do these sometimes have a dream like that and you wake up and you're more paranoid or frightened?
Well, it's a nightmare. I mean, it sounds like they happen. I think a nightmare is a dream that failed. It's trying to resolve a situation, in your mind or in your life, they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't succeed and you end up, with something really scary or, horrible or, very negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's what dreams are trying to do. I think they're trying to work through things and break through to an understanding or resolution. But they don't always work. I mean, they don't always succeed.
Mm-hmm. And when you have this collection of writings, do you have them from a long time back? Or
Yes, I do.
Like, we could go to your house and you have, books and books and books of your dreams?
That's right.
Do you go back and look at them and say, oh, yeah, I remember that? And you recall people that maybe you haven't seen for a long time as a result of that? Or
not as much as I think I should. I mean, like everybody, I tend to live in the present a little bit more, perhaps, and I don't remember the past as much as I might. But, yes, I do go back and read old dreams from time to time.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking the other day about when I wake up in the morning, ways to try to be more positive about the beginning of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some suggestions for that? I mean, I know we've said don't wallow in it, but when I consciously said I'm going to teach myself, well, I didn't say wallow in it, but that's what I meant, it took a little bit of time to work on that.
That sounds like a very good exercise to kind of promise yourself as you're waking up, to be positive about the day. Yeah, I recall a time when I was in India studying meditation. Every morning I would wake up and my mind would be in a high state. Okay, and it just would be. I didn't do anything to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And it would kind of carry over for quite a while during the day. And that wore off as I went on about my life. But I think that trying to make those promises to yourself is a really good way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, I try to, share that with close friends or, maybe adult children, mm-hmm. when they seem to be struggling, and it seems to have, although I'm not a professional by all means, any means, it seems to help a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the things that professionals do came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. They mostly came from people discovering them, mm-hmm. like mindfulness, for example.
Yeah. You have done a lot of work with ADHD.
Yes, I do.
And does that is it a syndrome?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a syndrome just means a bunch of symptoms that tend to go along with each other, and it is that.
Mm-hmm. Do people who have ADHD have a more difficult time in winter? I mean,
that's a good question. I had never thought of that before. And reflecting on it, I mean, my first thought is that, gee, it might actually be easier for them. Because winter might tend to slow things down, but on the other hand, that might make it harder for them too. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm. I know being cognitive of times like premenstrual syndrome, when maybe some people have a tendency to be grumpy, naggy. Mm-hmm. I think that's, a mm-hmm. time in winter where I always experienced much harder mm-hmm. time than just...
Yeah. Well, winter is hard anyway, and so anything else is going to be kind of magnified by winter, I think.
I think we should just get rid of it for a few years and take care of it that way.
be careful what you wish for,
Yeah, with global warming, we're
yeah,
never
that's right.
sure. You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. Today we're talking about winter, and my guest is Al Collins, talking about ways to get your mind through the dark and cold months, although... A lot of people like that cold and dark. Give us a call if you have questions or comments, or share ways with us that you get your family through it. A lot of people can't afford to take off and take their kids to Phoenix for 2 months. And so how do you spend a winter in Anchorage with your family? 550-8433, that's 550-8433, or the toll-free is 1-888-353-5752. Have you worked with people in maybe small communities or people who may have been, had really severe mental issues that were exacerbated by winter and tried to treat them?
I haven't worked with many of them directly, but I have supervised a psychologist who was in a small Alaskan community for about 5 years, and I would visit with her every couple of weeks maybe. Mm-hmm. And I saw how it was for her, and I mean it was a huge challenge, to live in this community and to be a psychologist and help people, because winter did tend to be a time when some problems got worse for people. Just not having enough fuel. There are all kinds of real world challenges. But in addition to that, the psychological issues for many people did get harder in the winter. And mm-hmm. for my supervisee in particular, I could see her going through it and just changing physically. It was just really very hard, but it was also a huge, life-changing event for her. Mm-hmm. And I think she got a lot out of it in spite of the fact that it was so hard. I remember just kind of tangentially, when I came up to Alaska in the first place, I realized that this is a place that is going to make you better or worse than you were before. You're not going to be the same person. Mm-hmm. It has that potential to kind of magnify or multiply. And, I could feel, you have the choice. You're going to, it has a positive transformative potential, but you can also get worse.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. It is a live call-in program. 550-8433 is our number. And if you're listening in the evening, you cannot call in because the program has been pre-recorded. We're going to go to Jonathan on line 7. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You know, I wanted to touch on something your guest mentioned earlier, which is the importance of not telling yourself there is nothing to do to stop that message and remind yourself there is plenty to do. Personally, I'm a big believer in the fun of getting out, getting lots of physical exercise, being outdoors. I love winter. I absolutely love it. And I can't relate. You know, when I hear people complaining a lot, I just kind of look at them funny, like, you know, what are you, it's like complaining that you have too much money or something. And yeah. I think part of it, A, people tell themselves there's nothing to do, but also if you dress for it, you know, I say there's no bad weather, just bad choices of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You know, get dressed good and warm. And go out, go cross-country skiing, go hiking, go do whatever. Yeah. I'm out and about 365 days a year, and I love it. And the same was true when I lived in the interior, when it was 40 or 50 below.
Oh, wow.
You know, I took the dogs out every day, you know, without exception, and had fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's great. Some people can do more than others, and even if you can't, you know, go running for 10 hours out in the wilderness like some people, or, you know, ride your bike for 100 miles in interior Alaska in the middle of winter, you can still get out and, you know, walk on the Prospect Heights Trail like I do. You know, there's a lot of middle ground between not doing anything and being super active.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, for me, well, I was pretty athletic when I lived in Florida too, so I'm gonna be more active. But people who aren't you know, into exactly running marathons, it's great to just take a walk.
Yeah.
You know, my dad said when he spent a year on the Arctic Rim, long before I moved here, he went there from Louisiana. And he said part of what saved him was he got out and walked every day.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like you said, not running 100 miles or anything, but he'd go out and walk half an hour with an enormous amount of clothing on, get the fresh air, see the sky.
That's right. It's so beautiful.
Yes, yes. And just enjoying the beauty of the outdoors. And this city, you know, if you're in Anchorage, it's wonderful. The park system is great.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel like you're walking in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Within a few minutes of your house.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you for your call. You just reminded me.
Makes me want to go take a walk.
Oh, good. I hope some other people feel that way.
I hope so too.
It's interesting because I think I kind of poo-pooed winter earlier, but I really do enjoy it. And I had never really been winter camping before, and I was in my late 20s when I started winter camping. And at first I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. But once I did it, I loved it. You know, like I would have, like, never would have thought that I'd enjoy, you know, throwing a sleeping bag on a 6-foot-thick slab of ice and going to sleep at night.
Right.
But I really, you know, did come to enjoy it and quit being afraid and having fear of that, being out in the cold, and it made quite a difference. And I really truly appreciate what Jonathan said about dressing for the weather, because it makes a tremendous difference in your attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting out is really important, and that reminds me again of my story, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. What happens with him is that he takes off from King Arthur's court and wanders through the frozen north of England for like 2 weeks until he finds another castle that he can go into and get warm again. But that's what he does. He gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's an important part of it. I don't want to overemphasize the introversion. But that's there too, you know, and to put them together is a trick, I think. You know, I don't think it I don't think it comes naturally, you know, to be able to integrate the getting out and experiencing the world outside and also introverting.
We're going to talk about that a little more, but first we're going to go back to the phones. And Lynn on line 6, hello. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, yes, hi there. I am another one of those winter-loving people. And the question that I have is there a reverse condition of being overstimulated by the daylight in the summer? I get horrendously irritable in early July.
Huh.
Is this biological?
Absolutely. Yeah, no question. Yeah, I've seen lots of people who get overstimulated in the summer. They don't sleep enough. They, can get manic. Call it manic. You know, like summer is manic, winter is depressive. You know, to some extent, that's the way it's supposed to be. And if we accept that, you know, and just take, you know, this is the seasonal thing, you know, make the best of it, that's great. You can also fight against it, you know. You know, someone pointed out, in summer you can laze around and, you know, be introverted then too. But I think that does tend to happen. People get more overexcited in the summer. Kids staying awake until 2 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what we always did. Stayed up till all hours in the night and then never mind getting up.
Yeah. I mean, even in Oklahoma where I grew up, that's what we did. You know, we'd be out until midnight. And
what are some of your favorite winter activities, Lynn?
Oh, I'd ski, hike. You know, I love the outdoors, and the perk of winter is the bears are sleeping and the tourists have gone home, so it's all mine.
And Anchorage really is kind of a, you know, if you're living in Alaska, a pretty moderate climate, and doing those outside activities, I think I have a friend that skis quite a bit, and I'm always admiring her for it, and she loves it. So, yeah, thanks for the call. I wanted to talk a little bit about resources. Where can people get information, you know, if they think they might need some help? Are there places they can go to, the internet, or how do they get help?
Well, as I said before, I think the first thing to do is to not make it into a pathology if it's just a normal reaction to the seasons. Okay, you know, understanding that winter does make a lot of people quieter, make you sleep a little more, takes away energy somewhat. And, you know, if you can understand that that's normal and make the best of it, number one, and then fight against it a little bit by going out, getting out, number two, do both of those things, you may be able to overcome it. If it's more than that, you know the signs of depression. I think that number one sign of depression is sleep problems, really major, not being able to fall asleep, waking up at 3 o'clock and you can't go back to sleep, or sleeping like 12, 14 hours a day, either too much or too little sleep, tends to be the strongest sign of depression.
So if you have a child or a partner that might be doing that, how do you snap them out of it? Just say, hey, I'm worried, or...
Well, yeah, first you talk about the reality of it that you are feeling bad, but I would, you know, spend more time with the child, you know, have a time for the family to sit around the fire and talk about stories or make up stories, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Get them out, as many of the callers have talked about. You know, getting out is a huge, you know, source of kind of energy and of overcoming depression. It's been shown that physical exercise is about as good at improving depression as any drug, or even better. So that's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think the underlying idea here is that probably if the kids are a little bit depressed, so are the parents, and the parents may not be in a position to recognize it. So maybe see what's going on in yourself first. And if you feel like you are depressed, then, you know, go through the steps that I've just mentioned. You know, try to make it more normal. Try to do things to take advantage of winter, to make it a good thing, like being with family, as we talked about, community, stories, introversion, and then also getting out into the physical world some.
Mm-hmm. I notice generally if there have been, you know, major changes in my life, like someone moves away and I miss them, or, you know, something happens, I have to spend a little extra time on pulling myself back up again. And
yeah,
I can make it. I can do this.
Yeah. I mean, we all need to work on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, what people have to do just because of the reality of winter.
I think my husband particularly likes winter because he's always hoping I'll be quieter, but
it doesn't work that way.
Not yet.
No.
You are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. Today we're talking about winter and getting through it. And some people love it, some people don't. But my guest today sharing is Dr. Al Collins. Give us a call. We've only got a few minutes left. 550-8433. That's 550-8433 if you'd like to share how you get through an Anchorage winter, or 1-888-353-5752. And, of course, there is community forum at kska.org. What about alcohol? I've heard, you know, people say it's a depressant and maybe it doesn't help or could be a contributing factor to more depression.
Oh, it is, for sure. I mean, people often self-medicate with alcohol for depression, but it doesn't help. It makes things worse. I mean, the only positive thing about alcohol is when it's used as part of a social life, you know, around that fire in the middle of winter, part of the New Year's or Christmas celebration. If it's a social thing, then it, you know, and if it's not abused, then it can be okay. But certainly it does tend to get abused more probably in the winter than any other time.
Mm-hmm. And I think in Alaska, we're excessive at everything.
We are. Indeed, we are.
Okay, back to the phones again. Ron on line four, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just have a question for the doctor to see if or how he feels about prescribing psychologists.
Oh, well, that's a great idea. We don't have them up here at this point. I was licensed at one point down in New Mexico where they do, although you have to go through a lot of extra training to become one. But absolutely, that's a great idea. And in a state like Alaska, especially where we don't have enough psychiatrists, I think prescribing psychologists is something that should happen. Yes. Are you a psychologist?
No, I am from Las Cruces. Ah. MSU has a program that is currently prescribing or graduating people's.
Right.
You know, to prescribe, and I think there's only two states in the union that do this.
That's right. I think that's right.
Hmm.
So I was just curious as to how you felt.
Okay, thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Why so few? Is this a controversial issue?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Okay. I would imagine for some, you know, I can imagine right away some parents maybe being concerned about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if a psychologist does prescribe drugs, they would have to get extra training in that. I mean, we all know something about medication and the brain. Some psychologists know more than others, but obviously you have to know a lot to know about the side effects of medication, and the training has to be there.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate sharing the information that you shared, and hopefully people are thinking a little bit more about getting out of that wallowing and doing more about getting out.
That's right, and getting in.
Yes. My guest today was Dr. Al Collins, and PhD, and the interview is on our website, kska.org. And I'm your host, Nellie Moore. I'll see you next time on Community Forum.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us, KSKA 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska 99508, or email us at communityforum@kska.org. Additional information on today's show topic, including relevant website links, will be posted along with audio of today's program on our website at kska.org/communityforum. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.